Welcome to the Everyday Peacemaking Podcast. I'm Oshita Moore.
And I'm Jer Swigert. Join us as we grow our imaginations for joining God and others in mending divides.
Fear runs deep, spreading like a virus. Hate is cheap. From afar it costs you nothing. Sister, take my hand. Brother, we will stand. Open up.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Everyday Peacemaking Podcast. This is our first ever live recording of the podcast, and we're so excited to be here with so many of you live and then so many of you watching later on. And we are super excited to introduce to you our guest for the podcast today. Ale is with us. Alejandra Ortiz is with us, and she is going to be guiding us in how to incorporate the important practice of lament this season of Lent. And I can tell you that I am coming into this space deeply aware of how incredibly broken this world is. The phrase dumpster fire has been used many a time in the Moore House, and I have been deeply aware of my helplessness and my need for God. This is the practice of lament. Lament is crying out to God, honestly, about the state of our world, the state of our heart, and acknowledging that we need God and we need to know God, that God is with us. And so Ale is here to equip us and guide us and encourage us. And I know that Jer and Ale have a sweet friendship and a connection. So Jer, would you introduce Ale to our community?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Ale's been a dear friend and guide for some of my journey over the last decade plus. And as we were talking, Oshita, about the role of lament in the formation and practice of peacemakers, there's one person that comes to my mind who has been most instructive and has provided companionship for me in my journey of even cultivating this practice, and that's Ale. And so it was an immediate reach to you, Ale. And, you know, I think you have such a deep theological perspective, which I really hope informs this conversation, because lament isn't a practice that just we pick out of the air. It's actually deeply rooted to our tradition as people who identify as Jesus people. And I'm also recognizing that I was socialized into a context that lament was not a regular part of the conversation. And therefore, when the world is on fire, as Oshita mentioned, or we find ourselves in the current dumpster fire that we are, whether we're talking Israel, Gaza, or what's happening with people fleeing violence and from the global south and moving toward even the southern borders of the United States, what's happening in our own country, if we don't have a knowledge or an understanding or a rhythm of lament, there's something actually missing in our formation, and there's something missing in our practice of peacemaking. And one of the things that I've learned from you so much is the notion that lament is essential in that it actually generates, it moves us in the right direction. It's not a waste of time. It's actually a part of our worship. It's critical. And I'm hoping you can help us understand that a little bit more as peacemakers. But before we jump into all of that, help us understand a little bit more about who you are outside of a theologian and outside of someone who's in the peacemaking trenches in your own world. Help us understand a bit about who you are.
Yeah, I'm very happy to be here with you all and to share a bit about lament and about my own life and story and how this comes together. Well, my name is Alejandra. I am a border citizen of Tijuana, San Diego. Lived here most of my life. Married to Abdiel. I have two daughters, 3-year-old and a 6-year-old. And I'm currently actually also a PhD student. I'm doing studies on women evangelicals pioneering a university movement in Latin America. So very excited about that. And I've been friends with Global Immersion for more than 10 years. I think we've tried to remember that first time we met and how it was. And I think it was walking the streets of Tijuana, me maybe showing around some people the city and trying to think theologically about the border and about the realities of this place, mm-hmm. which is where we live as a family. Yeah, and I mean, we've been friends. I worked with Global Immersion in different times. And I think just something that I, to this day, continue to value so much about Global Immersion is the opportunity and the space it gave us to develop friendships and to just mm-hmm. be able to learn from each other. And that's why I'm here, I think.
Yeah, spot on. And it should be worth noting that you've gone from an acquaintance to a friend to family to serving on the board of Global Immersion. You know, it's just amazing to see the journey of that, but all of the different ways that you're influencing, you know, not just as an orbiting friend, but as a really significant influence into who we're becoming. So thanks for that, Ale.
Ale, I am so excited to learn from you. Like I mentioned in the opening, lament has been an important part of my spiritual formation. But like Jared mentioned, it's not something that we are encouraged to do in the Western Church at all. And so the idea of lament for someone who's just coming to it, they might misunderstand it as just like griping or being like navel gazing or being self-indulgent. And so maybe they might not allow themselves into this practice of lament. So would you lay our foundation for us? How would you describe and define lament?
Yeah. I think I came to the realization of what lament was, not through a definition of it, but actually later on figuring out, oh, this is what I've been doing. And then someone naming it like, oh yeah, like that's lament. I'm like, okay. So I think for me, what lament is honesty before God and before myself and before others about what I see in the world and in my own life and in the life of others, which many times doesn't add up to what it should be or it just seems so broken. And then not wanting to disintegrate myself or to ignore that, to be indifferent. So lament is actually the recognition of that, the pain and what that means, and bringing it before God and recognizing that God is also not indifferent and that God is also present to that and also inviting us to that, which I think has been really important for me to recognize, is that lament is not only something I stumbled upon because of this, but it's also just something that's in the whole of the scriptures. And we even see God lamenting, and we see Jesus lamenting, and then we see the prophets lamenting and the creation groaning. So it's just and the whole of the narrative of the scriptures. And then recognizing, yeah, that lament is that prayer before God, that honest prayer, the integration of it all, bringing it to God, and that doesn't leave you where you were. And in many ways, it invites to deeper understanding, deeper questions, and more depth, which I think in many ways is a lot, many times what we need, right? Yeah, just to kind of give a bit of where I'm standing in this topic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm curious because like what I heard in that, even in that description, is that a prerequisite for lament is the ability to see the world as it is. You know what I'm saying? And be honest about that. And one of the things I'm struggling with, just even in my own practice as I'm navigating in so much of the work of Global Immersion, of course, is taking a journey with Western Christians who have been socialized into a theology that dominates and who are on a journey toward a faith that restores. And one of the things that I'm having to grapple with, even in my own story, is that I'm not sure that I was given the tools to see the world as it is. I think I was given the tools to see the world as it suits me. And so for those of us who understand ourselves as proximate to power, in other words, the world as it is actually working for us. How do we begin to cultivate the skill, the habit that generates our ability to see the world as it is so that we can lament it?
Yeah. I mean, for one, I think I've been someone who from a young age asks questions and I'm not satisfied with a lot of the answers I often have. And when I became a Christian, which was when I was a teenager, the context in which I became a Christian was a place in which there was a sense that things weren't as they should be, but God was working in the world towards restoration. So I recognize that I've inherited a different type of theology that also helped me in many ways. And then my own, what I've prayed and sung throughout the years has been very important to develop my own theology around lament, because the songs that we sing with, for example, within the student movement that I worked with, are always songs that recognize the oppression, the suffering, a lot of these things. And that at the same time, I mean, they lament it. And at the same time, they point to the kingdom of God at work in the world, which doesn't imply escaping from it or a triumphalistic perspective. So I think that's wandering. That's wandering, and that's And when I see that lacking, of course, in many places and in our theologies, in which, of course, we have a theology that just brings us out of the world, that leads us to escaping, mm-hmm. or just that in many ways, a response to everything is to dominate and to have control, which is completely opposite to the Jesus we follow, so, and to what the kingdom of God is about. So I think for me, that's been anchoring. So like who Jesus is and what Jesus is doing in the world. And in that sense, it is a rereading, or even though I came to Christianity in that context, I recognize that I've had to come to that again and again, mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. the world understands power very differently. Because the theological powers that are over Latin America and over the whole world have a different understanding of the gospel itself and of mission. And so definitely I've had to allow God to reframe my own understanding of what God is doing in the world. And that's come through the scriptures, but that's also come through listening to those who are in the margins. And I think it would be really difficult for me to connect to the realities of the world if I hadn't had an opportunity, for example, to listen to those who are walking without hope in the border, or who are coming into our church shelter, or those who, because I had different opportunities, of course, or the women who have gone through difficulties of abuse. It's been listening to those in the margins that has like made me rethink or re-understand the world. And that pushed me towards actually Jesus and the way that what he does. So, yeah.
What I so appreciate about the way that you have invited us to consider lament, you invited us by sharing that this was something that you've already done, and that this was actually like an opportunity for you to experience God's deep awareness and God's closeness to you as you have looked at the world clearly as it is. And so I want to talk a little bit about, or ask you to share a little bit about, the power of lament within community. So like, I think one of the things that I appreciate about lament is that for instance, when there is a racially charged shooting or like something happens, I can do the work of lament on my own in some ways. Like, you know, 2/3 of the Psalms are laments, right? I can do that work of crying out to God, but then there's a particular beauty and hope-filled practice of lamenting in community with other people. Will you share a little bit about, like, how do we do that well? How have you seen that done?
Yeah. I mean, I have to admit that I don't know if there's a way to plan it, because I do think it's a move of the Spirit that brings that to us. And as you're saying, like, it comes from the pain or from the recognition of something that has happened, right? And I've experienced lamenting with others, which has been so therapeutic, so healing, because you're all in the same place and you're recognizing this. And then there's also an issue about lament not being it only about the expressing the pain, but also speaking the consolation to each other, and then speaking the truth to each other, and holding each other a space for each other. And so the importance of doing it in community, even if it's with another person, the importance of vulnerability in the context of it, which I think grows our humanity, which is, I think, is so important. But at the same time, sometimes it happens because it just, the Spirit moves us as a community towards that. But a lot of times it's something we kind of need to nurture, and we have to nurture individually, but then we can also nurture in a community through very practical things. For example, like I'm thinking of watching a movie together that makes us more aware of a reality that maybe we're so separate from, listening to someone, and then just opening the space to bring that to God. And sometimes it will bring questions, but sometimes those questions form into lament. And then sometimes just opportunities to walk alongside each other and where we are. Maybe it's not the direct answer to the question, but that's a little bit of how I experienced
it. Yeah, I mean, I'm struck, you know, Ashita brings up the Psalms, and I know, Ale, you call on the Psalms frequently in the way that you walk with people, you walk with me in terms of cultivating lament. I'm learning that lament takes all different forms, but what I think we see in the Psalms is just this guttural, vulnerable, messy declaration that things are not yet what they should be. And it's even stuff like pointing fingers at others and pointing fingers at God and naming a discomfort, a dissatisfaction, a sense of urgency that things are not yet as they will be or that they could be. And even like a calling down on like, God, you said that or you promised that. And look, do you see? You know, so there's some of this. And the psalmists, I think, are speaking these words, singing these words, penning these words for you as an individual first. What are some of the ways that you practice this? And I even like that you said it's not always prescriptive. It's not always predictable. It's not always something that you can build strategy around. Sometimes it just emerges. So what does this look like in like a practice, a best practice for you? And I also wonder, how have you experienced this communally? Because there's the power, the prophetic power of the communal lament as well. And I wonder if you can help us understand that and what you've seen and what you've experienced in that regard.
Yeah. I mean, I'm in a season in which I'm currently having to be reminded of a lot of the things about lament that I need to bring to my own life. And so in many ways, it's just like even a reminder for myself. And yeah, I mean, going to the Psalms and just reading the Psalms reminds us of what prayer is and the messiness of prayer and the tensions that there is into what it means to be human in this world before God. And I think it gives us words when sometimes we don't have words for the things we're experiencing. I think art is also so important because, I mean, songs, poetry are important for me. I'm married to a guy who writes poetry, and a lot of his poetry is also lament. So like sometimes he just reads some things and it just connects to something that goes beyond intellectual connection to that. And then sometimes, I mean, there's a lot of Latin American artists, painters, muralists that portray things that I can't portray with words. And sometimes going to those images also helps us connect more with our own bodies. Because I think also the Psalms express not only things intellectually, but invites us to pray with the whole of who we are. So I think that for me has been something that I'm trying to practice and remember. And then sometimes just recognizing that I'm very blocked intellectually, like I can't think clearly, and that's okay. But then what is my own body inviting me into, which is good, and how the Spirit invites me to that. And then just knowing that there are things that help me, like silence, contemplation. And sometimes the only thing that is there is pain and disorientation. And that's fine. That's what I come to God with, and I stay there with God. So that's what's looked for me lately. And communally, I think, I mean, choosing what we sing is important. I follow some U.S. American, African American, like common hymnal, which I listen to often. That, I mean, in English, that's something I would suggest, but I know there are others. But in Latin America, we have a genre of protest music and a music that recognizes the brokenness. And I constantly are looking for those type of things and then inviting others to listen. And then also, I've walked in what it does it mean to build teams in which vulnerability is welcomed. And then we are open to hearing what we're going through. And that opens space for lament in a very interpersonal or small communal spaces, which I think is important. And when it's meant guiding others, I think it's been, first of all, inviting others into places of brokenness and listening to stories that might be very dissonant and very disorienting, and opening space just for the expression of what that means for people in their particular moment of life.
Yeah, I
think not doing that, I mean, without that, you can't move into lament. Like there's so much indifference. There's so much block. So I think those are some of the things that I've seen in practice that I can remember of now.
Yeah, thank you. There's some threads I want to pull because I just want to even highlight these from my own practice. This notion that lament, again, in the scriptures, it seems a bit cerebral because they're the written word and their songs and their declarations. But what I love that you just said is that lament is actually a full body. And then you expanded that to this is a full community experience. You know, and I would love to hear what you would say to the person who's like, well, I'm not a poet and I'm not an artist. My hunch is you would probably say, who cares? Get some paper and some markers or some watercolors. It like you,
this isn't about performance. This is about getting your body involved in the practice of lament. So there's that piece that I find really interesting and really super compelling. The second thing you said is around lament creates the space for us to become more comfortable with the discomfort, or maybe grow our capacity to metabolize the discomfort. In other words, I'm struck by this notion that, like, it's not like you lament and then I'm better and the world is better. It's like I lament and things might not have changed. And so I wonder, help those of us who are like X plus Y equals Z. Move us out of the equation of this and into that, lament doesn't mean that all things get better. And if that's true, what does it do to us?
Yeah. No, yeah, lament doesn't mean, lament for one, I think what gives us or what allows us is to see better. And sometimes that seeing better means more pain or even like being able to hold more, right? So yeah, it doesn't solve it in any way. But I think that what lament does do for me, it holds me from becoming cynical to what I see. It grows me in the capacity to hold the tensions, the things that I can't, that I don't understand, and of the affirmation that I believe God is good. And at the same time, everything I see doesn't point to the fact that God is good. So how do I understand this? So I think it just helps me to hold the tension and not throw things away. It also grows hope, because that's what I think what for me has been the most important in my own walk of faith is how lament has grown my hope in God and in his kingdom work, which is not escapist, because I see a lot of hope that brings you out of the realities. But I think having a hope that grounds you in the realities seems almost impossible. And sometimes I am able to say, like, yeah, this hope is real, even in the midst of the pain. But it wouldn't be possible if I wasn't there in the place where it's so painful. So that's very hard. I mean, we need to recognize it. And it's not painful in a place. It's also painful in one's own embodied experience. And then also it grows us in compassion and solidarity with others. So, if it wasn't for lament, I think we're pretty deficient disciples or followers of Jesus. So, and it shouldn't surprise us, because it's part of our book of prayer. It's part of what we're invited as to as followers of Jesus. It's all over the scriptures. It's just, we don't have the capacity for that because our religion is so about dominance and so about triumphalism and about winning. That, of course, in that culture, in that context, you easily don't see this. Or is it? Or you don't want to see it. But yeah.
So as I'm listening to you invite us into lament, I am aware of what therapists call the window of tolerance. And it's sort of that place of when you are pushed, where you are uncomfortable and you are in a space of like generative good discomfort that says I'm growing, but then you are pushed out of your window of tolerance to where then it actually becomes harmful. And I'm thinking about that in terms of some people are becoming more aware of their mental health journey, taking care of their mental health, and integrating self-care, soul care in their spiritual formation. And I can imagine for someone who is doing that work right now, an invitation to lament seems scary, or it seems like it will push them out of their window of tolerance. So do you have any guidance and ways for us to enter into this work of lament, being mindful of those things of like our mental health journey, self-care, like what does it look like to grieve and to cry out to God and know that maybe the world's not going to be better, but we are sitting in this place of trusting in God, but then those feelings still kind of sit in us afterwards. Mm-hmm. How do you navigate that?
Oh, Sheeta, thank you very much for the question, because I will for now say, like, I don't think I will give a great answer, but I think that question is so important to this generation also, to the newer generations even more. But I recognize, like, I'm walking with that question too, because I'm also more aware of issues of mental health for my own sake and for the sake of others, and familiar with what you're saying in some way. So this is an answer in progress or something like that, that I'm going to provide. For one, I think that lament has the capacity to actually help us in our journey towards mental health. Because yes, of course, it can be harmful if we indulge. There could be ways of experiencing it that are harmful. But in most ways, I think there's a recognition that we are not alone when we lament. And God is with us. And that is healing in itself. Yes. And then the expression of our emotions to whatever our capacity is healing too. And then the recognition of them in that sense is healing, right? And to bring them to God and to know that we are not alone. And then the capacity that it has to grow us in our vulnerability, which is also always very healing because it allows us to be with others and others to know us, which is also part of healing, right? So right. I think in many ways can be a huge part of our wanting or seeking mental health. But I think it's that sometimes, at least what I've seen, is that we use a lot of concepts in the whole issue or realm of mental health that sometimes seem counter to maybe some of the concepts of lament or other religious concepts. But I think there's actually more, there's more intersections or there are more things that actually might help us redefine what we're talking about, which lead us to health. I mean, maybe one last thing is that I think it's hard to come to points of seeing God's redemptive work in our own stories of pain and hurting and trauma if we haven't been able to name the places of brokenness and hurt and lament, which of course feel very confusing. And sometimes we will need others to help us walk through that. And that's very important. But I think lament and the integration of our stories and seeing God's redemption, I mean, passes through lament in one way or another.
Yeah. I'm so grateful that you brought up the companioning piece or having someone walk alongside you, because as you were talking, I immediately thought, if your mental health is feels tenuous as you begin to explore practicing lament, then that is probably a really good indicator that maybe this is something that you bring to your therapist, or if you have a spiritual director, that you have somebody sit alongside you and hold space, that you don't do it alone, so that they can be that voice of hope and that voice of companionship, of care for you while you allow yourself to settle into those emotions. It reminds me of a time in my life when I was a new mom and I was really grieving through something that I was going through as a mom, like an insecurity that I had. And I was dealing with postpartum depression and it was just a really tough season for me. And I had a mom who sat with me and she was just like, we're just going to tell God all of those insecurities. Like, we're just going to trust that God is going to hold all of those. And she was like, and I will be here with you in that. And I just like went down the list of all the reasons why I felt like so alone and that I couldn't be a mother and all of these things. And she prayed alongside me. Then she like spoke like truth over me. And I think that for me was a moment of deep lament that felt really holy and felt right for me. And so as I'm listening to you talk, I'm also thinking that there's a bit of an intentionality and community that's necessary to do that.
Yeah. And I mean, I walked with a spiritual director for more than 4 years, and she's been key for holding space for me for that, for the same reason you've shared. But then also friends. I can think of friends in particular moments which have been so important just to walk with me and my spouse. It's something that it is important for us to walk with others, and then also can be counselors and could be other people. It's important to not walk alone.
I think we overthink it, which is why we don't think that lament is an important part of our regular spiritual formation in a way that we as everyday peacemakers can participate in, like being aware of the brokenness of the world and crying out to God. But the things that are going on in the world, I actually find some comfort in the practice of lament, because I can't physically be someplace, but I still feel it so deeply. And so like in my everyday life, I make room to cry out to God, to remind myself that shalom was God's idea first, like restoration was God's idea first. And so God is grieving, and so we're just going to grieve together. And so as we are thinking about this invitation for all of us in our everyday lives. I mean, I would encourage you to maybe create a practice of when you hear something in the news that's really disruptive to you, that breaks your heart, that you remember God's heart's broken too about this. And you invite God into that space of lament in your everyday life, moving through your life, knowing that you're not alone in that heartbreak.
That's what I was just going to wonder is like for it, I would even maybe say in three different locations, you've got someone who maybe this is their first time even listening in on a conversation about lament. How would you encourage that everyday peacemaker to move into the space? Someone who's been doing it and is just tired, you know, and kind of paralyzed by it. And then maybe you've got the person who is lamenting and maybe even tipping over into anger and like, because it's not changing anything, you know, how maybe offer some different invitations to people in different spaces.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, for someone who this is very new, I would say, go to the scriptures, like really go to the Psalms and go to the Jeremiah, the prophet, or just like sit with the reality of those questions and what it means to you and think about your own context. Let's be brave enough to kind of articulate or name those things that maybe you haven't named that really that are painful, that are hurtful, and just bring those to God. And then if you need some guidance for that, like go to the Psalms and go to very simple and more in some ways, but also just like that could just bring a lot. I think for those who feel like I've done this so and I'm beyond tired, a good friend of mine this last week shared a passage when Jesus is in Gethsemane and the disciples are supposed to be praying, but they're actually asleep. And my friend brought to my attention that they were asleep because they were exhausted because of the sadness. Or like that was the reality of the disciples at that point. And I had never paid attention to that. And it's there. And then what my friend shared was that sometimes the recognition that God finds us and God comes to us, even if we are not able to pray because of the sadness and exhausted because of the sadness. And it's Jesus's own prayer and life that gives us what we need. So it's not dependent on us. He carries us. And it's Jesus's prayer also that in the end is what we trust. It's not about us. It's not about our prayers. And Jesus finds us where we are. And I think that for me was just so, it's something that I'm trying for that to just come deeply, see deeply in my own mind and life and just like to rest in that. And when there's anger, I mean, I think it's similar. I think there's so much in the Psalms about just praying our anger and recognizing it. And I think the thing is that anger can easily turn into vengeance and to wanting to harm others. And that's where we also need God. And recognizing that brings us into an awareness that our God is not like that. And if you think differently, then I invite you to follow Jesus and to see how God is and to... Yeah, so then that's what I could say.
Yeah. So thank you, Ali. You know, as you were talking, I was thinking about just the importance of reading through the Psalms and how the lectionary, there's almost always a psalm, a responsive psalm. And so for the everyday peacemaker, for those of us who are listening and we're like, okay, I want to integrate lament more into my practices, I would give myself permission to lament. You know, I don't think our culture, the way many of us have been discipled, allows us to practice lament. So we want to give ourselves permission to lament. I love the invitation to go to the Psalms. And I remember one of my first aha moments about how I could be real with God was like reading a psalm about the psalmist saying like he just wanted vengeance and like horrible things to happen to his enemy. And I was like, oh, okay, God, we can be that real. Okay. All right. So like that's I feel that way sometimes too. And so I love the invitation this Lent to explore the Psalms and to allow it to help form our practices of lament. As we close our time together, are there any final thoughts that you want to share with us or any stories of ways that you've seen lament work really well for you? Anything else you'd love to impart to our community as they begin their practices of lament?
I'm not sure. I mean, I'm thinking of my daughters and something that we've maybe a little bit unconscious, but not. We've started with our eldest, who's 6.5. And I mean, the songs that she listens to. Of course, she listens to a lot of popular music that kids like, and we're fine with it. But we very consciously started to listen to other songs, and she asks us questions, so some about women and women's plight, and because we're in this month, and we're going to march together and everything, but just she asks us questions, like hard questions about, mommy, what does it mean? And why is this, like, trying to understand the world? And sometimes I think that could be like that with us, like open ourselves to things that might feel hard or painful, not in a voyeuristic or not like in an, I don't know, in a unsafe or unhealthy sort of way, but just with some curiosity and some desire to put ourselves to be compassionate, to understand something that we don't quite understand, but that feels something that might not be right. And I'm thinking of how I've done it with our girls or with our eldest. Yeah. So I maybe that's the only thing I was thinking. And then, well, one more is nurture friendships in which you can talk and lament these things with others. Because I think there's a value of starting very small, even with another person, that can later bring more people into that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. Well, friends, this has been a wonderful conversation with Ale and Cher, and I am praying for you. We are praying for you as you begin to explore and expand your practice of lament. And we just send you off with a blessing of bravery, to be honest and brave in the presence of the God who loves you. And we bless you with curiosity for what the Spirit has to show you. And we bless you with healing and hope as you continue on in your practice of everyday peacemaking. Thanks for watching, friends. Thanks, LA. Thanks for being with us. Tearing down walls, building up the bridges
between us. The Everyday Peacemaking Podcast is a production of Global Immersion and is made possible by our Embers community of monthly donors.
Sincere thanks to the Brilliance for use of their song, Turning Over Tables. Learn more about the work of Global Immersion, forming everyday peacemakers, and reconciling leaders to mend divides at globalimmerse.org.